Chapter 8.
What's the big deal, guys?
Nadir asked, as she stared up at the flock of creatures above us.
It's just a bunch of birds. A monoflock is much more than just a bunch of birds.
Pei warned.
If we don't hide right now, they'll be feasting on our bones for their next meal. What'll we do, Magnus do?
Alvi frowned.
They'll follow us down. We do what the Spindrel have always been known for doing.
The silver-haired hedgehog woman explained.
We get into defensive positions.
Not a bad idea,
Mira admitted, as she held her spear at the ready.
Do you want us to set up a perimeter around the entrance? Or perhaps we could try to draw these fuckers of mothers away from your home?
Even better,
Valeya declared, as she fell down onto her knees.
The monoflog like their meat fresh. If we pretend to be dead, they'll leave us alone.
With that, we all watched the curvy blonde woman tuck her head into her legs and literally roll up into a ball. As she did so, a few more pointed spines grew out of her back and stuck up about a foot into the air. The rest of the Spindrel women followed suit, though my crew and I all stood around looking shell-shocked.
What are you doing?
Shala hissed.
Get into defensive positions unless you want to get eaten.
This is Garden Sab.
Kalon growled through a cracking voice as he pulled his stick from his back.
Language, young Spindrel.
Pei ordered.
Get into position now, Kalon. I'm ordering you as your mother and your Magnus do.
I'm with the kid on this one,
Mira admitted.
There might be a lot of these birds, but we've killed way worse creatures.
We also have multiple dragons, I reminded the jade-haired dragonkin. We won't even have to lift a finger if our friends get to them first. What do you say?
I bet those things taste like a clucker bird.
Tyrion smacked his lips as the birds circled us.
Oh, they're probably delicious roasted, but just in case, I'll gladly be the first to test one out.
I'd ask Squire if he wanted to help,
Charon chuckled as she stepped forward.
But he looks so peaceful, I don't want to disturb him.
Draco Rex, I would advise against that course of action,
the pink-haired Errol warned. It was far too late. Tyrion took to the sky as his mouth began to glow orange and red, and at the same time, Saren inhaled deeply and prepared to blow these birds out of the sky as easily as a fire hose against a flock of seagulls. The water dragon's attack was ready first, so Saren unleashed a massive blast of seawater at her enemies. Angry caws filled the air as the birds were hit with the tidal wave and then plummeted to the ground. There was a chorus of fleshy thuds as they slammed into the earth, where they laid there motionless. Tyrion's fire breath afforded the monoflock birds a quicker death, though I wasn't sure if it was any less painful. The silver dragon's flames roared to life as they erupted from his mouth, fired straight up into the sky, and then instantly incinerated a large number of the creatures. The poor bastards didn't even have time to let out a squawk or a caw before they were turned to black ash. Then I watched in both shock and awe as the surviving birds began to move as one singular entity. Two tendrils of birds appeared from either side of the flock, and then they both shot down directly onto the position of our two dragons. Tyrion and Saren both sucked in air as they prepared to launch a counter-assault, but they never had a chance. The birds of the left tendril surrounded Tyrion in an instant, and the dragon's head was whipped back violently. He unleashed his fiery breath at his attackers, but the blast simply rocketed off into the dark sky and missed the target completely. The silver dragon's wings flapped wildly as he whipped his head back and forth in an attempt to knock away the birds, but soon Tyrion was completely engulfed in the flock. Saren, on the other hand, was at least able to get her attack off. Her water cannon hit the second tendril of birds and then launched them up into the air like sopping wet rag dolls. A large number of the monoflock, however, split away from the tendril at the last second and continued to descend on the water dragon. They swarmed her like a pack of rabid dogs, and all Saren could do was roar as she tried to shake them off.
Get off of her!
Mirella cried out before she charged toward her bondmate with her dagger drawn.
Wait, Mirella!
Kalon declared as he followed my daughter into battle. Meanwhile, Pei was forced into action.
Gods!
The Magnus Duke grumbled as she glanced up from her defensive position.
Come on, Spindrel, it appears the prince is putting himself in danger again.
One by one, the hedgehog women straightened their bodies, popped back up to their feet, and drew their weapons. Meanwhile, Kalon and Mirella skewered the monoflocks that attacked Saren. And even though they were still amateur fighters, both of the teenagers seemed to be holding their own against the crazed birds. Mirella plunged her dagger into the swarming creatures with expert precision, and she'd skewer a bird and then toss its corpse off to the side. Kaelan, on the other hand, was much flashier with his strikes. The hedgehog boy used his double-edged stick to slash one of the monoflocks away from Saren. And once the beast was stunned, he twirled around and stabbed the second point of his stick into its body without even looking. As annoyed as I was that this kid had the hots for my daughter, I couldn't deny his skills. Or his bravery, considering the rest of his species just wanted to hide this one out.
"We've got to help Tyrion," Jonas declared. "The birds will eat him alive if we don't do something."
"Already on it,"
Awara declared. The Morpho woman jumped up into the air as her pink and black wings unfurled, and then she launched herself straight toward Tyrion. Awara's fan blade sliced and stabbed in a million different directions as she lashed out at the black birds, and within seconds she'd cleared away all the creatures from Tyrion's wings. Of course, there were so many of the damn things that they simply replenished their numbers just as quickly as they were cut down. Awara tossed a monoflock corpse into one of its flockmates before she lopped off an incoming bird's wing and sent it in a downward spiral. The orange-haired beauty used her wings to flip out of the way of an incoming assault with the grace of a ballet dancer, and as she backflipped in the air, Awara thrust her fan blade right through the heart of one of the birds. Still, they kept coming.
"She's getting overrun,"
Ashanti growled as she watched the scene unfold, and then turned to the Nerilope at her right.
"Theora, right? You're good with arrows?"
"I like to think so."
Theora nodded firmly as she pulled her bow from her shoulder.
"Then let's give Awara some cover,"
the three-horned Chero woman declared. However, Alvi's hand instantly pushed Theora's bow down to her side.
"Don't shoot,"
the hedgehog woman grumbled.
"You'll attract their attention. End up like dragons."
"Look, you walking tree,"
Ashanti growled.
"I'm not gonna simply sit by while my crewmate gets killed. You want to cower in fear like a mud wallower? Then maybe you should get back into your little ball."
Alvi's eyes narrowed, though the rest of her face remained emotionless. Finally, the brunette spindrel let out a huff before she turned away from Ashanti and began toward Morella and Kaelan. The second Alvi had walked away, Ashanti and Theora raised their bows to the sky. "Don't worry about the birds," I reassured them. "If they swarm, we'll have your back. Right, guys?" The rest of my crew nodded in agreement as they held their weapons at the ready and prepared to take on the hundreds of birds above us. Ashanti closed one eye as she tracked the monoflocks around Tyrion, and then she took a deep breath, squeezed her legs against her murak, and let the arrow fly. It skewered one of the deadly birds seconds before it would have attacked Awara, and the creature plummeted from the air as it squawked in pain. Theora's arrow was equally true, and a second bird collapsed from the flock. Our two archers were able to take out a handful of the raven-esque monsters before the monoflocks turned their attention to us. Though the two tendrils remained focused on Tyrion and Saren, the rest of the flock shifted in unison. They let out a unified, pissed-off caw before a third tendril of birds, one that was much, much larger than the first two, descended upon us. They came down with the speed of hail in a hurricane, and I barely had time to ready my sword before I had dozens of razor-sharp beaks around me.
"Yeah!"
I gasped as one of the bird's talons latched onto my shoulder. I stabbed the end of my sea glass sword through its body, felt the bird's corpse fall away from my shoulder, and then began to wildly flail at the creatures with my weapon. There were a few loud shrieks of pain as my blade tore through the monoflocks randomly, and I tried to find my bearings. Now that I was up close and personal with these fuckers, I saw them in detail for the first time. The birds were about the size of a larger hawk, though their feathers were slick and black like a raven's. Their eyes were sunken and white, without any pupils or irises whatsoever. But their beaks were like nothing I'd ever seen before. The appendage was neon yellow in color and curved intensely, like that of a reaper's sickle. And whenever they opened up their disgusting mouths, I could just make out the jagged teeth on the inside lining of their beaks, teeth that could easily rip the flesh off a man's bone. I ducked away from one of these razor-sharp beaks seconds before it would have taken out my eyeball, and then I mounted my counter-assault. In a flash, I grabbed the hilt of my pink stone dagger, drew it from its sheath, and stabbed it right into the bird's brain. The bird jerked once before it went limp, but I only had seconds to savor my victory before I had to stab another one of the fuckers.
"This is so much fun!"
Lizanne's voice cackled, followed immediately by a wet, bone-crunching sound and a hearty laugh.
It is like that game we used to play all the time when we were little.
Nadir agreed.
The one where we'd smash those small rodents as they popped out of their tunnels.
Even though I was glad the Kunag women were enjoying their game of whack-a-mole, we were going to need to turn the tide of this battle quickly. Sure, we were killing the monoflocks with ease, but they had us hopelessly outnumbered. No matter how long we kept this up, we were all going to eventually run out of energy before the flock ran out of birds. We needed to kill these things in quick bursts, with large numbers of casualties as a result, and the only way we could possibly do that was by freeing the dragons. Well, and waking up our secret weapon, Swa'er. I scanned the battlefield for Batari and the little dragon as I continued to knock away monoflocks with my sword. Eventually, I saw the pair about 200 feet away from my position, and I had to stifle a chuckle. Batari was fighting off the birds in true Chero form. The white-haired woman lopped off the head of a monoflock with her sword spear, and then she twirled the weapon in her hand, let out a grunt of frustration, and stabbed its point into another bird. Without missing a beat, Batari then elbowed a bird away from her, whipped her head around, and knocked away another attacker with her horn. All the while, Swa'er was draped around Batari's neck like a furry red scarf. I took out a few more birds, though they never seemed to let up. I cut one down, skewered another, and continued to kick them away, yet they were still swarming me like flies on shit. I continued the onslaught until finally, for just a split second, there was a break in the attack. It was only a second or two, but that was all I needed. I dashed forward with a dozen of the curved, beaked bastards hot on my tail, but I was able to deliver my message to Batari.
"We need to wake up Swa'er,"
I shouted, before I disemboweled one of the monoflocks.
"He could literally end this battle with a single blow, but he's not doing us any good as a fashion accessory."
"I, for one, think he looks quite nice,"
Batari joked, and then she split open a bird's skull with her iron weapon.
"Really brings out the color in my hair."
"Red and white," I added with a grin.
"Very festive. But as much as I enjoy you trying to get into the holiday spirit, we need Swa'er if we want to have any chance at victory."
"Oh, if whipping around getting pecked at by sharp beaks hasn't woken him up, what makes you think anything else we do will?"
Batari growled.
"He may just have to sleep it off."
"We don't have time for that,"
I grimaced, as one of the birds sank its beak into my back. Thankfully, my scaly skin offered up a nice natural armor, so the monoflock's attack was in vain, and I knocked it away with the back of my fist as I pondered what to do. Pei had told me there was nothing she could do to awaken Swa'er from his artificial slumber, but I wasn't sure I fully believed that. If only we had some sort of smelling salts or a strong, pungent odor that would shock him back into consciousness. That's when I got an idea. A very, very dark idea. And one I was sure Swa'er would have objected to if he were awake. It was going to take perfect timing, as well as a bit of sacrifice on my part. If I wanted to make this work, then I was going to have to stop attacking the birds around me. Unfortunately for me, the monoflock would not be so kind as to return the favor. But, regardless, I took a deep breath, sheathed my sword, and snatched up one of the monstrous birds from out of the air in front of me. The instant I let up on my own attack, I felt the beaks of about a dozen birds peck at me intensely. Waves of pain shot through my body as the fuckers attempted to tear off my scales, but I just tried to tune it out. Instead, I ran over to Batari and Swa'er, held the bird in front of me, and then placed the tip of my dagger against its abdomen.
"I'm really, really sorry about this, Batari," I warned the Queen Mother.
I sliced open the monoflock's stomach, and a geyser of blood erupted from its body, along with all of its internal organs and viscera. Batari let out a horrified gasp as she was covered with blood and guts, though the majority of the viscera ended up on Swa'er. It stank to high heaven, and Batari began to gag as she continued to fight off monoflocks. However, more importantly, Swa'er began to gag. The wind dragon's entire body heaved in short, disgusted convulsions as he tried to hold down his breakfast. His noodle whiskers twitched upon his face like two bright yellow cattails, and soon the dragon's eyes shot open fully.
"Whew! That is the foulest thing I've ever smelled!"
Swa'er gagged as his head perked up, and he looked around groggily.
"Yeah, what is it? The contents of a 50-year-old latrine that you just dug up? I think I'm gonna... What in the world?"
The wind dragon's eyes got wide as he took in the scene around him, and he immediately wrapped himself tighter around Batari's neck.
"Swa'er!
Not so tight, my friend!
Sorry for the rude awakening, buddy, I explained, as I skewered another monoflock. We're kind of in a pinch right now, and we need your services.
I can see that. Where's Tyrion and Saren?
Swarmed by these creatures.
Batari grunted as she wiped some blood from her face.
We're trying to keep them away, but there are just far too many of them.
That's where you come in, I declared, as I tossed away the disemboweled corpse, turned around, and slugged away another monoflock. We need the biggest, most powerful breath you can muster, and we need it ASAP.
There's a lot of these guys, Ben. I don't know if even my strongest breath will be able to take them all down.
We don't need to take them all down, I reminded him before he impaled a bird on my dagger. We just need to break them up. I can see why the Spindrel call these things the Monoflock. They're fighting us like they're one big entity together. If we can break them up, maybe that'll give us a bit of a tactical advantage.
Or at least allow the dragons to be freed,
Batari said, seconds before she sliced open the chest of an attacking bird.
If we could have all three of you in this fight at once, these birds wouldn't stand a chance in Tembori's heaven.
I'll see what I can do,
the little guy declared. Swaer shook his head like a wet dog, which caused the monoflock blood and guts on his face to splatter off all over the ground. The birds around the dragon were taken aback when they were assaulted with the viscera of their fallen flockmate, so Swaer used the distraction to his advantage. I watched proudly as the dragon's head shot forward, latched onto one of the monoflock birds, and bit his head clean off. He then took in a quick, shallow breath before he used his air magic to launch the severed head like a frickin' cannon. The head slammed into the nearest bird, and there was a loud crack as the impact snapped its spine at the neck. Swaer was onto the next bird in a flash, though they continued to rain down from the main flock in droves. I like what you're doing, Swaer, I admitted to the wind dragon. But you really need to focus on the big flock. That's where all these reinforcements are coming from.
How many of these things are there?
I heard Theora shout, somewhat rhetorically, from across the battlefield.
It's like they're pouring out of the clouds themselves! That's why we told you to hide!
Ura grunted as she took out a few birds with her pointed staff.
There are too many of them to fight off! Believe it or not, we didn't say that because we're a bunch of cowards!
The rest of the Spindrel women had surrounded Charon, Morella, and Kaelan, and were taking out monoflocks with lightning-fast speed. Yet they kept on coming. Maybe we'd bitten off more than we could chew. Then again, if these creatures were as big of a threat to the Spindrel people as claimed, we wouldn't just let their reign of terror continue. After all, saving the livelihoods of sexy, single monster women seemed to be my niche in life. No matter how hard we tried, we couldn't seem to get the birds to stop swarming our dragons. They'd reappear just as quickly as we cut them down, and they made damn sure they weren't letting the dragons get a free shot at them. Tyrion shot tiny blasts of fire that killed several birds, but he didn't seem to have enough time to wind up the big one. Charon was in the same boat, since she was surrounded by her bondmate and a bunch of Spindrel people. There was no way she'd be able to get off a shot without catching them in the crossfire. Meanwhile, poor little Swaer couldn't catch a break. The birds were on him like flies on shit, and nothing he seemed to do was good enough to even make a 2-second window that would allow him to slither away. I sliced a few more of the birds as I tried to think of a solution that would clear the way. That's when I realized. The sleeping powder. That stuff knocked Swaer out like a light, so I could only imagine what it would do to these smaller birds. The trick, however, was going to be distribution method. Hold on. We had a frickin' dragon that could literally blow wind from his mouth at hurricane-level speeds. If we could somehow get a bit of that powder into his mouth... Pei! I called over to the silver-haired hedgehog woman. How much of that sleeping powder do you have left?
Most of the pouch,
the woman declared, as she knocked away a monoflock bird.
That's nowhere near enough to knock out this entire flock, though.
We don't have to knock them all out, just enough of them to break up the horde. When I get close enough, throw the pouch over to me, and then Swaer and I will do the rest.
I'm very skeptical about this, Draco Rex,
Pei admitted, before she held out her staff horizontally and used it to block a bunch of the incoming beaks.
Though I'll be the first to say we're not making much ground this way.
No ground at all,
Alvi huffed as she flipped and twirled through the crowd of monoflocks.
They won't stop!
Swaer, Tyrion, Charon, I asked all of our dragons telepathically. I've got an idea to get you free, but it's going to take some coordination.
At this point, I'm good with trying anything.
Me too! Some first adventure I decide to come on. I just had my scales polished the other day. Now they're all scratched up by bird beaks.
Here's the plan, then. I'm going to try and grab Swaer and then the pouch on Pei's belt. When that happens, we're going to blast the entire damn thing up into the air, straight at these black-feathered bastards.
Won't that just put us all to sleep too? Swaer couldn't handle a handful of the powder.
Which brings me to my next point. Swaer, how okay are you with taking one for the team?
I'm not exactly sure what that means,
the little wind dragon admitted.
I'm only a few days old, so I'm still trying to figure out what all your strange sayings mean.
He wants to know if you're willing to put yourself in danger to save the rest of us. Please, for the love of Oshun, say yes.
Isn't that what I'm doing right now?
Swaer argued as he bit into another monoflock.
These birds don't exactly taste like flowers, you know.
We're all in danger right now,
the purple water dragon protested.
If you put yourself into more danger than the rest of us, that would be taking one for the team.
Why would I put myself into more danger? That would be...
I just want you to blow a bunch of powder into the flock, I interjected, before my blood pressure could rise any more. Which means you'll have to hold it all in your mouth, and you'll probably pass out when it's all done.
Oh, why didn't you just say that to begin with?
Now it was just a matter of getting the pouch from Pei. The monoflock creatures swarmed the Magnus Dew as she attempted to protect her son, but I could still see her spiny hair as it followed her body's twirls, turns, and spins. I took a deep breath and then darted toward Batari and Swaer. Bird bodies slammed against me like an endless onslaught of punches as I ran, but I wasn't going to let them get the better of me. I sliced, stabbed, and punched my way through the solid cloud of monoflocks until I reached the red dragon and his bondmate.
Oh, sorry, Batari,
I joked as I reached out and grabbed Swaer by the nape of the neck. I'm going to need to borrow him for a second. The Queen Mother didn't even question my actions as I pulled away her wind dragon and slapped him atop my own shoulder.
We'll be right back, Batari. I'm about to save the whole crew.
Save the...
Batari sputtered, but her words were quickly cut off by another swarm of birds. An even larger flock of birds shot down onto our position, and now I could barely see the light of the neon plants through the thick cloud of dark feathers before me. Swaer and I lashed out haphazardly at our attackers as we ran, though it was now nearly impossible to see the direction in which we were heading. Thankfully, the path between Batari and Pei was fairly straightforward, and I soon heard the battle cries of the spindrel people around me. Fucking hell, I knew these monoflocks were intelligent, but it was almost like they knew I was up to something and were going all out to stop me. Suddenly, a wooden point skewered the bird in front of my head, and I was forced to duck down before it got me too.
No, watch it! I yelled into the abyss. You've got friendlies in the area!
Sorry, Draco Rex,
Shala's spunky voice declared.
I wouldn't have lashed out if I'd known you were there. I'd never, ever do anything to hurt a hunk of a man like you.
Even in the midst of battle, this woman was flirting, and I was kind of into it.
Draco Rex!
Pei's voice called through the horde.
Follow my voice!
What do you think I'm trying to do?
I grunted as I knocked down a black bird.
I've been through some thick fog and some terrible storms before, but this is fucking ridiculous.
It was the truth. Even though I was trying to isolate Pei's voice from the cawing, squawking, and squelching around me, it was pretty damn hard. This whole monoflock attack had put me into sensory overload, but I wasn't about to let it get the best of me.
I'm over here, Draco Rex!
Pei yelled once more. This time, the hedgehog woman's voice was only a few feet to our left, so I made one final push to reach her. I made a long, upward slashing motion with my dagger, sliced open a bunch of the black birds, and then thrust myself forward like a linebacker. I plowed through the swarm of birds before I popped out the other side, right in front of Pei's slender figure. My momentum was still going, so all I could do was gulp as I slammed into her body and took us both to the ground. I scooped up the small hedgehog woman in my arms as we fell, and I twisted my body so I took the brunt of the impact. Her body landed right on top of mine, with her beautiful blue eyes only centimeters away from my own, and I could feel every muscle in her toned, half-naked body as it pressed against my flesh. From her perky, small, supple breasts to the abs on her tummy, to the silky smooth skin all over her delicate figure. Even though we were in the midst of battle, for a split second, I felt like there was nothing else in the world but the two of us. Pei must have felt the same euphoria too, because her face turned beet red as she cleared her throat.
Hi, Pei!
Swaer's high-pitched voice greeted the hedgehog woman.
Whew, funny running into you here.
The powder, Draco Rex.
Pei sputtered as she reached down and pulled the burlap pouch from her belt.
Let's make haste before we're all torn to pieces.
All right, Swaer, I addressed the wind dragon. Are you ready for your big moment? The second all this stuff is in your mouth, you have to blow, okay? If you hold it for too long, it'll just knock you out before you even get a chance to let loose.
I understand, Ben.
Swaer's eyes were narrow and full of determination as his whiskers flicked to and fro. I opened up the pouch, took a deep breath, and then put my hand around the back of Swaer's neck. Fly straight up and blast this shit as close to the center of the flock as you can. Are you ready?
Fly up, blast the powder all over these guys, and then fly back down. I'm ready.
Well, it'll be more like fall back down, but close enough.
Wait, fall?
Swaer gulped, but I was already pouring the sleeping powder into his mouth. The second the pouch was empty, Swaer removed himself from my shoulders and shot straight up into the air, and his furry red body stood out amongst the blackened feathers around him as he ascended with the grace of a snake at the end of a fishing line. Soon Swaer was completely out of my sight, and my heart seemed to stop as I waited for something to happen. From above, there was a massive gust of wind, and several of the monoflock birds screeched in terror. Almost immediately afterwards, the sea of birds began to part around us, and I heard the sound of dozens after dozens of dull, hard thuds. As the birds pulled away from their attack, I saw what Swaer had actually done. The entire center of the megaflock had now fallen away, which left only two smaller flocks separated by a mile-wide gap in between. The birds who'd been assaulting us now rocketed back toward the empty space to fill the gap, but that was right where we wanted them. Neon powder hung in the air like a dissipated cloud as it slowly drifted back down to Earth.
Everybody hold your breaths,
I warned, before I turned my attention to the dragons.
Other than you two, Charon and Tyrion, you both know what to do.
Neither of the dragons responded to my statement, but they instantly sprang into action. The second the birds had pulled away from Charon, the purple water dragon opened up her mouth and unleashed a fire hose of salty water. Her attack struck several of the fleeing avian creatures, who were violently knocked out of the air and slammed into the ground with a wet cracking noise. Tyrion followed Charon's lead as he took a deep breath, summoned white-hot fire from the pit of his belly, and blasted them onto the monoflocks. The birds were incinerated in an instant, but Tyrion was far from done. He continued to blast flames from his mouth as he turned his head slowly back and forth like an oscillating fan.
Swear!
Batari gasped in horror. I glanced up and saw the sleeping powder had taken its toll on the poor dragon. His body was completely limp as it plummeted toward the ground, unconscious and exhausted. Batari frantically tried to position herself in a spot where she could catch the falling wind dragon, but his body changed trajectory by the second.
Tyrion!
I asked the fire breather telepathically.
I know you're having fun up there, but Swaer is falling fast, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to catch him.
I'll grab him,
Tyrion confirmed, seconds before he halted his fire breath. The silver dragon folded his wings against his side and then spun around us as he allowed gravity to pull him down. Tyrion plummeted about 10 feet before he opened up his wings, caught himself, and angled his body in an upward position. His momentum caused him to fly upward, directly toward the plummeting Swaer, and once he was within striking distance, Tyrion lashed out with his mouth, snapped his jaws around the nape of Swaer's neck, and halted the wind dragon's descent. Tyrion then slowly began to lower himself toward the ground, with Swaer safely in his grasp. At least, that was the plan. But soon, Tyrion began to wobble back and forth, almost as if he was drunk.
Tyrion, you okay?
I don't know. I feel like the world is closing in around me.
Shit. The sleeping powder.
Just keep it together for a little longer. You're only about 50 feet from the ground.
I just feel...
Tyrion trailed off, and then his eyes snapped shut. He let go of Swaer, who promptly fell the full distance onto the ground with a dull thud, but Tyrion's impact was much more significant. The entirety of the earth shook when Tyrion's body slammed into the brown dirt and then laid there, motionless. Batari and Velaya both ran over to the fallen dragons and checked their vitals, but after a moment, Batari leaned back, wiped her brow, and smiled.
They're both fine,
the Chero woman confirmed telepathically. The sleeping powder was now mostly scattered across the ground rather than in the air, so I unclenched my diaphragm and sucked in a deep breath.
Look, Ben!
Theora cackled as she pointed to the sky.
The flock is fleeing! That's right! You better run, you scruffy acorn otters!
Sure enough, the surviving monoflock birds were now in full-on retreat mode. They squawked angrily as they flew away into the horizon, and soon they were nothing but a distant speck of darkness in the sky. As my friends and I regrouped, I tried to do a brief survey of the damages done. All of us were now covered from head to toe with scrapes, bruises, and blood that may or may not have been our own. But we were all still standing. We'd successfully defended the Spindrel home from one of the island's greatest terrors, and hopefully those damn birds would stay away for a long, long time.
Well?
Ura scoffed as she wiped a bit of blood off her stick.
That was probably the most eventful journey home we've ever had.
It may have been,
Pei confirmed.
But thanks to the Draco Rex, his crew, and his quick thinking, we may never have to worry about the monoflock threat again.
I wouldn't get too ahead of yourself,
Shala grumbled.
There were still plenty of the things left.
In more manageable numbers, though.
The Magnus Dew corrected.
Now, shall we go inside? Valea has an ointment that can help with all of our injuries, and we are in need of a rest before we attempt to venture any further into the forest.
That was probably the easiest decision I'd ever have to make in my life. Batari took Swaer in her arms as Charon grabbed onto Tyrion's neck, and then my crew followed the hedgehog women toward their underground dwelling.